Previously on Adventure.
We began season three with our adventurers watching aghast as Thrace was sucked into a swirling black vortex. Her friends began their search but were rudely interrupted by two wights. Having dispatched the undead fools, they were approached by a man who called himself Samuel, who offloaded some essential exposition, explaining that Thrace is not the only creature who has disappeared into a portal. He encourages them to go see friendly coach-driving elf Kazi, and they departed for the Dragonborn Kingdom. You made your way to the palace and into the throne room, where you met the acquaintance of Oryk, who referred to Thrace as his sister of sorts. But as soon as you got a little salty with him, you heard the familiar noise and felt the ground open up under you as you began to drop down into a portal. All right, so as we rejoin you, you're attempting to extricate yourselves from the awkward pile you've all landed in. As you look around at your new surroundings, you realize you're looking out at a large and foreboding landscape of jagged mountains and perilous drops into an abyss that you can't even see the bottom of. You're standing on an outcropping that is approximately 10 by 10 feet.
So, outcropping of 10 feet?
As in, yep, you're just like on a ledge.
Behind us there is...
Rock.
A rock wall?
Rock wall.
No backwards?
Okay, so we're basically... It's just on down
the side of the cliff. You just got dumped onto a cliff. Okay. Yeah.
This is some mess we've landed in here.
I'm assuming it's Henley's fault.
Isn't it? I am rather edgy.
I'm just going to jump off the cliff right now.
Yes. I'll join you.
So where are we supposed to go? We can't quite go up. Are we supposed to go down?
Down seems like we're going to die.
I actually agree with you for once.
We haven't really known each other that long for this to be like a thing where we have like a thing where a rivalry has happened.
I agree, but then at the same time, how often have we agreed?
All right, I'll give you that one. I gave it to you on that one. I do have a broom that flies. Redfield pulls the broom out of his bag of holding, hops on, and tries to take off the cliff.
Where to?
Just up above to start out with. Directly straight up above.
Straight up.
Where we came from? Like,
well, there's nowhere we came from because we fell through a portal, so I'm guessing that...
Oh, okay, right. We still came down through something to where we are.
Yeah. But that portal is no longer there. It's just more mountain.
Right.
I might be able to get us backwards through the wall.
All right, well, I'm up, so do whatever you're going to do. I'm just...
You're floating around.
You're looking around.
Reconnaissance.
Reconnaissance. Redfield's going to fly away a football field's length... To the
you're
left.
Surrounded. Okay, you're surrounded by other peaks. There's, you know, a big abyss below you, but you can see mountains and.
Okay, so it's not
you're
just
like in a mountain range.
Or in a mountain range.
Yeah,
I should say I was picturing in my head, and this is probably wrongly.
Yeah,
looking like we're in hell because of that we fell through it.
Yeah, but basically, think of Mordor, like that
it is
kind
like
of
Mordor.
Feel.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's like fire and
it's like it's basically it's dark,
craggy pinnacles
dark and gray. Craggy pinnacles, dark gray, mountainous. You can't really see the bottom, but you can see the peaks.
I can see the peaks, so it's like it's like smoke almost covering, so I can't see the bottom.
Yeah,
can I? How far can we see? Kind of left,
you
right.
You can see other. You can see other mountains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's there's other mountains like a few. You know, half a mile away from you, there's plenty more mountains.
Okay, so what if Redfield tries to take that broom and go down below the smoke line to see what's below?
It wouldn't be a great choice. You, as you start to descend, the screaming becomes louder from this particular abyss that you are above. You hear some screaming, some wailing. It definitely doesn't seem like a vacation spot.
And Redfield still hasn't broken the... of smoke line.
It doesn't look like a particularly penetrable smoke line, shall we say.
All right, so Redfield comes popping back up out of the smoke.
What's it look like over there? It
looks like smoke.
Okay.
Smokes and screams.
That doesn't sound like a place we want to go. So let's try this.
Okay.
Stone shape. You can make a passage through any wall less than 5 feet thick.
Okay. You can certainly attempt that. This mountain, however, isn't 5 feet thick. This mountain is a mountain, so I can allow you to go for it if you like, but I am pretty much letting you know that you will be building a 5 foot tunnel with a brick wall at the end.
Okay. So there's no cave system.
There is no cave system in this particular mountain. There is no cave system.
All right, so Redfield's going to go up to try to go to the top of this rock wall.
Okay.
All right, so Redfield's heading up.
So he heads up. As Redfield heads up, he looks out into the distance, and a few hundred yards, or let's say half a mile away, he sees a faint flickering light coming from what seems to be a cave in a mountain just across the way. You're hovering around the top of this mountain, but they're big mountains.
They're big mountains. And mountains, we're not talking about, like, nice slopes. We're talking about,
no,
like,
we're talking
very
about
sheer...
Exactly, right. Yes.
So
yes.
Redfield couldn't land on top of this thing and
he
walk around.
No.
Okay, all right,
no.
Okay. All right. So Redfield dips back down and says, so I got some good news and some bad news. We've got absolutely nowhere to go up, nowhere to go down.
What's the bad news?
About a half a mile, I'm going to ignore you, about a half a mile away, I see a flickering light, which looks like it's in a cave. So either it's going to be somebody that we're going to want to say hey to, or it'll be somebody we can fight. Either way,
it's better than standing
on this little rock outcropping, yes. Waiting to die or something, whatever we're going to do. The question is, how do I get you two fools over there?
Well, I could always shrink Hendley again.
We could do the shrinking, but I don't know how I'm going to get you over there. Yeah.
I'll wait this one out.
Is, had we established a weight for
this? I
don't
think we have. I gotta look it up, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a stat on it.
Right.
Because it is a real thing. I didn't make it up. Oh, can carry up to 400 pounds. I don't think we have a combined. Maybe we do. Now, I'm very light.
You're small,
I'm
right?
Small. Yeah. Bob is lithe. Yeah. And so is Julian. I'm imagining Julian just looks like Bob, except he has a wizard hat on.
Exactly.
And Henley's also, like, not super...
No, I'm not super heavy.
So we don't even have to... Definitely
thinner than me.
I'm going to give you about, I reckon, 350 total.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably.
Yeah.
So is this going to be some sort of, like...
magic carpet ride.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's a broom. We're all, like, kind of holding on to each other for dear life.
Well... only two of us are going to be able to fit sitting on the broom. One of them's going to have to hold on.
That's what I mean.
Underneath.
It's going to be very funny
picture. Yeah, holding on. Julian, why don't you ride up in here with me? Redfield goes and lands on the platform. Julian, why don't you get up here with me? And I'll just do this. And out of my bag of holding, I take rope. And I say, Henley, do you trust me?
I don't even remember your name.
All right, well, do you want to get off of this little rock outcropping?
I suppose I got no choice.
All right. Just lay down on the ground.
This is amazing.
And put your hands and feet in the air.
You're actually going to hogtie him to this broom.
I think this sounds like a trick.
It's not a trick, I promise you. It will be hilarious, but it will get you to where you need to go.
I feel like I want to challenge him to a persuasion contest.
You know, though, I'm not trying to persuade. Hey, man.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, fine. You can stay here. It's up to you.
All right.
And he just basically, like, sighs and submits.
All right. So Redfield ties up Henley to the broom, and we take off.
And you're heading towards...
The light and the flickering cave.
You land on a similar size platform, except... at the wall of this platform, there is the entrance to a cave. And from deep inside the cave, you see a faint flickering light. And you also smell a familiar aroma. It smells a lot like pipe weed.
Mm. Shall we enter? We came over here for a reason. We might as well.
If you haven't known anything about me yet, Julian, is that I definitely am going to go in there.
Yeah. Lead on, McDuff.
Okay. So you walk into this cave, mm-hmm. and sat towards the back of a cave. You see what appears to be a grubby druid in a cloak that resembles a slightly fancier burlap sack. He's sitting cross-legged by a small campfire, smoking a long pipe. And in front of him is a rug, like you see in the cave of every wannabe basement balladeer, red with an inlaid cream design.
Hey!
Oh, Redfield.
And Henley looks at Julian with what the hell's this guy's problem look?
Yeah. Okay, and the very second that Redfield shouts, hey, the rug jumps into the air, stands upright, does a little jiggle, and launches itself at Redfield in an attempt to grapple him. Right. You are going to need to make a DC saving throw.
Dexterity?
Dexterity saving throw.
Okay, yeah. It's a six.
It's a six. This rug throws itself on you, wraps itself around you, and proceeds to hold you in a not terribly comforting way. And at this point, the grubby druid at the back stands up. His name is Balak Brightwood. And this is his rug. And I think Balak might want to know exactly who you are and what you're doing.
Not again. Thanks. But, I thought I was here alone. Who are you guys?
Harmless travelers. Can you extricate him from this rug, please?
Let him go. Come on. Let him go, please. Come on.
All right. The rug is kind of shrugging a little bit, and he eases off, but he's still not entirely letting go of Redfield just yet.
It doesn't look like they're trying to hurt us.
You'd know it if we did. Trust me. We're all not. Right. We're just...
So the rug lets go of Redfield and basically just kind of shuffles itself off into the corner and sits down, and somehow the body language of this rug implies it's kind of having a strop.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Really?
You were talking about, I saw that picture of Desmond today, and you're like, oh, what a strop. And I was like,
you know,
I don't know.
Like, you're being stroppy.
No, that doesn't help. You cannot use the word to define the word.
All right. The rug,
petulance?
Yeah, the rug looks like very much like he's just in a huff. Is that better?
Yes.
All right, there we go.
Yes.
In a huff. So stroppy means you're just in a huff. Yeah.
Well, now we know.
I guess he seems moody.
Yeah, there you go. He's not particularly happy at this instruction, yet he did let go of you.
I have seen a lot of things. I've never been attacked by a rug.
And Henley just mouths WTF to, like, to everyone around him. He actually speechless for once.
All right, so where was I? Hey!
Oh, yeah, right. We were talking, right?
Oh, I was trying to talk, and then your homicidal upholstery tried to take me out.
Believe me, if I didn't have to have him around, I might not.
And at this point, the rug looks around, and suddenly his body language becomes a little more homicidal.
All right. Listen. Ruggy.
I don't know what's happening.
Just calm down. What is your name, pipe-smoking... thing, friend, person.
The name's Balak. Balak Brightwood. Are you like me and don't know why you're here really either?
Yeah, we sort of dropped through a hole in the floor.
Yes.
Ended up on a cliff.
Mm-hmm. That is what happened.
Hey, while we're telling this girl the truth.
That's what we do now.
Yeah. It's our new gig.
Yeah. We just tell the truth.
I think telling the truth is usually the best thing to do.
Not if you ask Henley. Yeah.
A wee bit overrated myself.
Henley spots a new victim.
Wait, well, you look. Wait, my memory's a little cloudy, but I feel like you look a little familiar to me. What's your name again? He looks at Henley.
My name's Lilpeen. Henley. Little Pain.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm not sure.
Balak. That's your... Balak?
Am I saying that right? Yes, and who are you?
My name is Redfield. Shortbush.
Redfield? Okay. And I guess he'll look over at Julian, too.
Julian, pleased to meet you, Balak.
Oh, yes. I was getting ready to... I don't know, maybe try to find some answers about what this place is. Do you know what this place is?
Oi, how long you been here?
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I've had a couple of these, and he like taps out his pipe.
I would judge by that probably not more than a few hours, I'm guessing, by the way you're sucking on that thing right now.
Are any of you, you guys hungry or anything? Can I help you out with anything?
I could eat.
Okay, well, I'm gonna use a spell real quick.
Okay.
Balak, like, offers his hand, forward, And he's kind of murmurs some things to himself, and you see some like plants grow and some berries grow out of his hand. And I think I have to roll for it. Seven berries like grow out of his hand, and he goes, if you're hungry, this'll fill you up for a day or so.
I think I've gotten a little bit of a contact high.
I'm about to eat hand berries.
Good. They're good berries. They're good.
Okay. So are you guys going to eat the berries?
I take two. Rahil takes two and pops them in his mouth. These are good. These are good berries.
Okay. I'll try for two. Sure. Why not?
Oh, and he kind of extends, and like the vines kind of like drop them into your hands a little bit.
Well, this'll fill you up for a day. If you want to have any, so. But they're only good for a day, so. But I was working on a couple of a ritual to maybe figure out where we are. If you don't mind giving me a few minutes while I kind of like get ready.
Are we going to the ball? What's going on here? Where did you come from? I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
I know of Neverwinter, but I basically grew up outside of Neverwinter in the woods, but I've been around Neverwinter. So, is that where you're from, or where are you from?
I prefer to not say.
I'll tell you that we arrived here from the Dragonborn Kingdom. All of us have frequented Neverwinter at some point or the other. I think.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Wait, was that Justin? Or was that Balak?
That was Balak chilling out.
Okay. I thought you were like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa. We've all spent time in Neverwinter. I believe Henley is the only one who had any sort of residence there. However.
I thought we were brothers.
I think you are forgetting how long we have been adventuring together. It has literally been, I think, an hour.
Yeah.
And Balak starts getting like kind of like a little nervous and like kind of goes off back to where he had like looked like his like setting up like a little ritual to kind of do by like a small fire.
You freaked out. Okay. You freaked out the little weirdo.
Redfield is just says exactly what comes into his brain.
You're not sure if he heard you or not.
Okay.
I said I freaked out the little weirdo.
Oh, all right, good one. But do you think he can really figure out where we are?
I don't know. I have known him as long as you have, but
let's see what he's doing.
He is a druid.
Yeah, but
he's got
but
some...
I do think you must be a much better. Judge a character than all I am.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere, but I think he is a druid. He made berries come out of his hand, so I'm willing to see where this goes before we move on.
All right, so you're going to let Balak do his thing?
Redfield sits down, picks out his little magic e-cig, and starts puffing away.
That's probably the only thing Balak noticed.
I still have a jug of milk from Chicago, so I pulled that out and
oh Jesus!
Started drinking that as well.
What's the expiration date?
Yeah, I was gonna say drinking it or chewing it.
It's like a magic dimension in the bag of holding, obviously. So it's fine. I start drinking that and pull out one of the apples I stole as well and just chewing on that while we wait.
And Julian and Henley, what are you doing while you're
just
waiting?
Just watching.
All right.
Carefully. Just being real
carefully.
Creepers.
Real
so take
carefully.
It away, Balak.
Okay. Well. He's going to use a spell called Commune with Nature.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of like burning a couple different kinds of like incenses he has. And if any of you know about like, you know, spellcasters that have like a focus that they like use their magic from, it seems to be like a green like emerald he has around his neck.
Okay.
And it kind of like glows while he's like doing the ritual, and it only takes about a minute after he gets going. In this brief time that he is like trying to like gain knowledge of like his surroundings, he
tries to envision what kind of, like, plants or people live around here. Maybe, like, the closest city or
yeah,
town.
Yeah, it says terrain and bodies of water, prevalent plants, minerals, animals, powerful celestials, fae, fiends, elementals or undead, influence from other planes of existence or buildings.
So, yeah, I guess you would, like, think about, like, the plants, people, and, like, what buildings are around there.
It
and
says,
like, if there's, like, any influence from, like, other planes of existence, like, around here.
And it says you instantly gain knowledge up to three of these facts. It doesn't say whether you choose the three or whether I choose the three that you're going to get.
So, you said you want me to pick, Jackie?
No, I'll pick. I'm gonna pick,
you're
yeah. I'll give you
evil.
Three. I'll give you the full three, but I'll pick what they are.
Okay, sounds fair to me.
All right. So, Balak, you're going to do your ritual right now. You guys are watching on nicely.
I'm barely paying attention.
We're watching to see what Hendley might try.
Okay, so, Balak, you are going to have these three things come to you. First of all, there is influence from other planes of existence because this is not the same plane of existence that you guys were all previously on. And, in fact, you are going to, at this point, realize that you are in Shadowfall.
Okay.
The other thing you are going to realize is that the terrain is pretty much exactly what you see for many, many, many miles around. Mountains. There is...
It just continues.
Yeah, there's mountains, but there is land too. The abyss that's below the mountain, the two mountains that you both landed on, is an abyss. But there is definitely, if you find a way down, there is land to walk on as well. And then the other thing is there are other creatures existing on this plane, both ones that belong here and ones that don't. And they're within your vicinity.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin Riley, your audio engineer, co-producer of the podcast, and now your very own druid, Balak Brightwood. So yeah, this was the surprise. It was exciting for me, but looks like I will be playing my druid on the show for a little while at least. In the spirit of the show, since it was kind of everyone's first time playing except for mine, I decided to play the first character I ever created and see what Jackie does with my backstory stuff. Since now I've been recording, I'm a couple games ahead. So finally, I know what's about to happen on the podcast, which is kind of fun. Well, I hope you enjoy Balak. And I just want to thank the cast again, Bobby, Bob, Brian and Jackie for letting me now not only mess around with all the sound, but also play with everybody. This episode, as usual, features tabletop audio and battle bard sound effects. The main ambient track is a brand new one from Tim at Tabletop Audio that I use for most of this episode being in the Shadowfell. And some of the ghastly screams when Redfield goes underneath the cloud cover, those are from BattleBards. The last quick shout out I want to give before the Henley Reads will actually go into Henley Reads, kind of. I want to thank Andy Philhart. He helped me out leveling my new character sheet up. And he's kind of a whiz with that kind of stuff. We both play a couple of D&D games together, and the group liked what he did with my character sheet, so he hit up everybody else and, you know, helped the guys out with making sure they're using all the right abilities and spells and whatnot. So that leads us into the Henley Reads, where he read Andy's old review from a couple years ago. So thanks again, and you'll all be hearing some more of me.
Oh, Oi, it's me, Henley. I've got another few reviews I'd like to read while I just wait here for my ale to arrive at the bar. I'm going to say this one is from Zerion, and he gave us 5 stars. He says, disclosure, my friend Justin Riley, sounds like a twit, who did the sound effects work for the campaign podcast, suggested I'll give it a listen. After listening to the first campaign episode, I was delighted to hear a very fun and interesting campaign set in the Forgotten Realms area. At least that's where I believe it's set. The players are all very interesting, I know, and certainly add a bit of flair and uniqueness to each character. The players make distinctions between talking in character and out by using different voices for their player characters or directly stating that they're out. I know what you mean. The SFX certainly add another immersive layer to the podcast and help me feel as though I was an active participant, eavesdropping on the conversations of the player characters as the story unfolds. I look forward to hearing more of the campaign. I highly recommend the podcast for anyone interested in D&D, fantasy-based podcasts. It's a great listen, and you won't be disappointed. Dan Burns 4000 gave us 5 stars. He said, 1-46. This show is great. It really shows that there is no wrong way to play. Keep up the good work. Best of luck with you guys' personal life and with the show. From Onars, the Half-Elf Druid. Thanks, Dan Burns. And now, my favorite one. It is the triumphant return of 420 Trent. This time, with 5 stars. He says, reasonably funny. I gave a pretty harsh critique of the show in my previous review. However, reading my review on the show is a surefire way to get me to bump up the score. Crying, laughing emoji. Brian's RP and DMing is very entertaining. This show is not rules as written, but they are following the rule of cool and making interesting things happen in each campaign. And if we ever have a chance, the beer's on me, Brian. And no, I'm no fun at parties. Oh, the beers will be on you, Trent. I will turn a beer on your head and then laugh all the way to the bank. Have a great day, everybody. Except you, 420 Trent. Except you.
So that's what you know after. Well, that's what you are going to communicate back to, maybe communicate back to your new friends.
Yeah. His eyes just kind of like open wide, and he looks like a little like gasp, like, oh, we're not even in our world anymore. I think we're in the Shadowfell. Do you guys know that?
Well, I didn't know that we were in another dimension, but I could do a history check to see if I know anything about the Shadowfell.
Oh, to see if you know about it?
Yeah.
I think we all should do one, personally.
Yes.
That's up to you guys. I can't control what kind of checks you do. I just know
you
what I
You are just not a team player, Riffel, in any way.
That's not Riffel, that's Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to blame Redfield for that one.
Okay.
I got a 17.
Oh. Good.
I got an 8.
Okay. Well, Brian got 17, so I'm going to explain for the sake of all of you what Shadowfell is. And we're going to assume that Brian knows the most about it, and he's going to, pass this knowledge on to you. So basically, the Shadowfell, also called the Plane of Shadow, is a darkly lighted dimension, a world of black and white where color has been leached from everything. It's a place of toxic darkness that hates the light, where the sky is a black vault with neither sun nor stars. That's basically Jesus. What it is. It's kind of a, you know, almost like a hell dimension in a way. You know, I'll give you a little bit of a, if you think about what implications that can have on what's more powerful down here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what Shadowfell is.
I guess I'll be the one to speak up. I know of Shadowfell. It is a dark place with lots of evil. Not a lot of bright things there. And very little ale. I don't ever want to go back.
Someone else want to break it to him? He already has.
Yeah. I think we did. Did we?
Yeah.
I'm not very bright. I didn't get that right away.
Okay, so...
Bump. Bloody hell.
So, here's what we know. We're in this dimension. I'm going to assume that Auric had something to do with us ending up here. And we know that Thrace and potentially her family are here somewhere. So I think our only course of action is to try to find Thrace and her family, because I think the secret to getting out of here lies in something to do with the Dragonborn. And we got to go find our Dragonborn and figure out how the hell that we get out of here.
Absolutely.
I just don't know how this is my problem.
I mean, you can stay in the dimension of toxic darkness that hates the light. That's fine.
That's not what I said. I just said it was not great.
You do you.
We'll pick you up on the way back.
No, we will not.
No, we will.
Bailey.
Yeah. And if we go down, there's a bottom, and I think there's other people around here that probably don't want to be here either.
All the way down, like where the screaming is coming from?
Check on Jackie.
Yes. Basically, the abyss that you had to cross was bottomless. However, there is a way to go from where you are to some actual ground.
To walk on. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay, so I guess I maybe would have a vague idea,
yes. You don't sound like the most specific character, so I think you can be okay with being vague.
Yeah.
Balak, is there a way for us to these other people safely?
I'm not really sure, but I probably need some help getting there. Do you mind if I just like tag along? You guys sound like you.
We've
you
done some adventuring,
like,
yeah.
Conversation stuff to talk about. You got stuff to, and he just kind of like starts trailing off a little bit.
Let me interrupt you just for 1 second. Is this one of those deals where like this cave is sacred and someone has to stay here to protect it, and if you leave, someone else has to stay in your stead?
Oh, I don't know anything about this place.
Well, we could always leave Henley behind.
Henley, did you hear that? Someone has to stay here.
Is that what we're doing? Oh.
All right, you can tag along, but I want you to make one thing absolutely clear.
Yeah.
You answer to me, and you answer to Redfield.
What kind of questions?
and for once, Henley's like exasperated with somebody other than himself.
And Redfield just like giggles at the mm-hmm. joke.
So at this point, when you have agreed that Balak will accompany you,
I'm all for it.
You guys say yes, and Balak's coming with you, and you see the rug come out of the corner, roll itself out, hop along, and sit down like an obedient dog right next to Balak.
Oh, yeah. And, sorry, yeah, this is coming along, too?
Does this have a name?
Do you want to tell him? I don't know.
It's officially, if you look in, out of game, if you look in the Monster Manual, it's called the Rug of Smothering. And this Rug of Smothering has basically attached itself to Balak not quite a pet because it doesn't do what it's told, but a companion.
If you don't, I can give it a name if you don't want to give it a name. I don't want to call it the rug all the time.
Yeah, I'm not, I like, I don't know, I didn't like, should I roll to like whisper around this thing?
I think, yes. Yes, because it can have a reaction if it doesn't particularly like what you're saying. So, yes, do check.
Now, I'm hoping it's a charisma thing because I wanted to show how bad it is to everybody.
What, your charisma?
Then, yes, yeah. we will call it that. Then, yes, yes.
Well, a straight charisma is I have a 6 in charisma, so that's a -2. and I got a 20, though.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Okay, so the rug is just distracted. He's looking around. He's obviously waiting to go somewhere and cannot hear what you're about to say.
What's going on?
Shh. Big moment coming.
Yeah, I didn't really choose for this guy to, like, be around me. So, I don't know. Maybe you can come up with a good name for him. I don't really care.
Call you
Shag.
Well, I'm not really. I try not to talk to him that much.
I kind of like the inverse of carpet, which is Teprak.
Oh God! Well,
why don't you say that in character?
I like that.
All right. What if we called him Teprak? Oh no, it sounds wicked clever. It's just carpet backwards.
Sure.
Well, let's try this. Let's try both names, and wherever the carpet comes to, that's the name that we'll choose for it.
Oi, Teprak, come here.
And the carpet instantly leaps and attacks.
Oh, no. The rug doesn't even acknowledge Henley.
And then Balak just goes, Teprak?
And it looks up. And okay. And obviously is paying attention. It clearly wants nothing to do with anyone other than Balak.
All right. Where are we at? It's cool if he just comes along, right? Right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, is this... He seems like he'd be useful. So, absolutely.
Maybe we can get him home, too. Okay. I'm assuming it's a him. I don't know how to... I don't know how you sex the carpet. I really don't know.
Hello, hello.
Oh, I could tell you some things, Julian.
So out of game for a minute, I explained this one to Justin, but I don't know if anyone else will get this reference, but have anyone read Pratchett? So it's a reference to the luggage, who is Rincewind the Wizard's companion. It's basically a sapient, pearwood, homicidal trunk that is the companion of Rincewind, but Rincewind doesn't know why, or why it won't leave him alone, or why it eats people that don't want to, you know, that want to do him harm. Mm-hmm. It's just this thing that follows him. So that's kind of the, if you want to look it up, that's the influence with the rug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's why you get the vibe that Balak isn't really like super excited about having him around all the time.
Exactly. Balak did not pick this thing. He's not carrying it around because he thought it was a particularly nice rug. This rug, for some unknown reason, has attached himself to Balak, yet doesn't seem to want to do anything other than protect him, but certainly doesn't exactly answer to commands.
Okay.
So that's where we are with the rug, or Teprak, as he will be known from now on.
Teprak. It rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teprak is good to go. So let's, I guess, pop out of here and see where what there is to see.
Okay, so you're going to go back out of the cave?
Yes, we walk back out of the cave.
Okay, so you walk back out of the cave. You are on a similar landing. It's sheer up, and it's an abyss down.
Okay, I don't think the thing we did last time is going to work this time, because we got another person.
Yeah. You do have another person. I'm not going to let you
hogtie.
Can Teprak fly? Does the carpet fly?
The carpet does not fly.
Oh, that's
the carpet will not accept passengers, no.
Damn it.
What a waste.
Up and down or off with the broom is not going to be an option this time.
Yeah, no.
Is there any plants around, like, at all in this, realm?
From what you can see, no, there's nothing. There's no, it's very grey, it's as close as you can get to dead in a landscape. You don't see trees, you don't see rain, snow, it's just grey. It's just grey and rocks and shale, and there's really nothing. There's nothing about this landscape that appears to be living. I would say maybe investigate the cave a little more. Because right at the moment, you are taking Balak's word for it that he's stuck in this cave.
Oh, what are you checking out a little further there, Redfield?
The cave?
I think so, yes.
Balak is still, like, looking off the edge. He actually didn't, like, come in yet.
Right, okay. So he's still outside.
Let's peer into the darkness.
Okay, so Julian is rolling an investigation check. He got an 11.
Plus, which one's that?
What does it draw off of?
Plus 7 on investigation.
Wait, all right, so you look into this cave. You're stood, you know, in front, kind of as you walk in, you get to the fire and where the rug was. And behind it, about 6 foot behind it, is the back wall of the cave. And you didn't really need to roll an 18 to realize that there's actually a small tunnel in the back of the cave.
And now, my favorite one. Yeah, I'm in a parking lot because I forgot to get this done today, so I'm going to wait for this car to pull out, and then we'll resume. And now, my favorite one. It is the triumphant return of 420 Trent.